You're listening to Terry Wickstrom Outdoors, presented by Jack's Outdoor Gear on 1600 ESPN. Normally, you'll find us over on 104.3 The Fan from 9 to 11. Occasionally, we get welcomed over to our sister station at ESPN, and when we do, we're usually on from 10 to noon. So join us on either station when we're on. Let's go to the phones, and joining us, one of our favorite contributors. He's been both a contributor and a fill-in host on this show for many, many years, Ronnie Castiglione. Good morning, Ronnie.
Good morning, Mr. Terry Wickstrom. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing good, and I got my phone set up as a little clock here, and a little headline came through. He said, let's change the topic. I went to Boyd, and I think you said you slammed him or something, so I said, fine with me. So what's happening at Boyd Reservoir?
Well, you know, Terry, it's not just a Boyd Reservoir thing that I wanted to bring up. However, we did go to Boyd last night, and we absolutely crushed the fish.
Ronnie, I got to interrupt you. My phone, I must have missed the phone call to join you.
It was a last-minute decision, Terry, and I figured you were already into a couple glasses of wine by then.
You're probably right.
We got out, and, you know, it really just brought up something to mind that I thought I should bring up when I was going to call in today, and it really has to do with the fact that, you know, we've been talking a lot about getting out and fishing deep and fishing suspended fish, and we all kind of have that jig and spoon, blade bait, and jig and wrap bite on the brain, that kind of a thing, and that's definitely in our future here, Terry, but right now, right here for the next couple weeks, and you know, maybe into November a little bit, there's an opportunity to get out and really hammer a lot of fish shallow, Terry. And when I say shallow, I mean really, really shallow a lot of times this year, Terry. Boyd, for example, last night, we got out, water temperatures were still in the high 60s when we launched. And I thought to myself, you know, these fish are going to be shallow right now today. And they were, Terry. We caught a variety of species, and I don't think we caught any of them any deeper than about 2 feet deep, Terry. They were all pushed up to the bank. They were all pushed up to the remaining grass lines that are around the lake. And that's kind of a standard pattern that we see on a lake like Boyd this time of year. The water's fallen out of the lake a little bit, and there is quite a bit of submerged grass that's still in the lake. All the species were up in that stuff yesterday, Terry. We caught largemouth, we caught smallmouth, we caught walleye, we caught a huge number of large white bass that were up buried in the grass. We caught perch as well, Terry. So I just wanted to, you know, let the listeners know that even though that deeper bite is starting to get going on a lot of bodies of water, you know, why these water temperatures stay above that, let's say, 58, 56 degree point, there's a shallow opportunity to get out and really hammer a lot of fish, Terry.
So what type of techniques did you use to approach them? Now, you can't really use your electronics to find fish when they're that shallow, so you got to kind of, in your mind, know the type of structure and cover you're looking for, and you kind of describe that. But then you need what techniques? How did you approach them?
But definitely a reaction style presentation, Terry. We caught them on probably a half a dozen different things last night. Spinnerbaits are outstanding when you're fishing in and around any grass lines. Chatterbaits can be also a really good presentation. Swim baits that are rigged weedless can also come through that grass and really get a lot of bites as well. These fish were very, very active, and so they were coming up and blasting on top as well. So walking baits can be very effective. We had fish absolutely grenading baits like choppos and whopper ploppers, things like that. They're really, you know, they're all about chasing bait. They're all about eating little fish this time of year. And sometimes those little fish get blown up to the bank or, you know, in this particular scenario, we were blasting a whole bunch of fish on this one grass line, and we also noticed that there were a zillion tiny little bass and tiny little perch that were also in that grass line. So I suspect that a good number of the larger predators that we were getting action from were there targeting those little perch and maybe even those little largemouth. So it's really a reaction style deal. You don't want to slow down and drag things. It wasn't a punching bite. It wasn't anything like that. It was throw something up there, rip it over the top of the grass lines, get to that outer edge and kind of let it fall. Or if it's a walking bait, just rip it off those grass surfaces and just kind of keep on working them. You know, we figured it out real fast, Terry. And once I figured out that all the species were up in that stuff, it just really became a beatdown. And that can happen a lot this time of year, Terry. So let's just not ignore that. You know, that shallow bite, that 3 to even about 1 foot deep, that's the same way this time of year when we head up into the mountains that we catch a lot of the fish up in North Park. So, you know, fish like those big brown trout and those big bows that we talk about up there. 3 feet and shallower is a lot of times where we get our best action, a lot of times where we see the big fish, Terry.
Now, we get questions every week because we talk a lot about fishing out of boats. We're all fortunate. We have big, expensive boats, and we get sponsors and things like that. But we always get questions about shore fishing. And everything you've told me right now tells me that this bite is probably accessible from shore. Or is there too much cover and weeds in the way? Can I fish it from shore? And what would I look for from shore?
100% you can fish it from shore, Terry. On a lake like Boyd, for example, you know, you're just really looking for anywhere that you see a little bit darker water off the bank. Polarized glasses are going to be a key. And getting there, especially during the week when there's not a lot of boat traffic, the water is going to be fairly clear. If you get out there on a Saturday evening, the water might have gotten stirred up from a little bit of the boat traffic, and it may be a little more difficult to spot those weed beds that are still in the water. But if you're out there during the week, early in the morning, or, you know, pretty much all through the day, once the sun gets up, you can spot that darker water that's just off the bank. That tends to be the submerged grass line areas. And you could absolutely catch these fish from the shore, Terry. I mean, the majority of them that we caught were within 5 to 10 feet of the bank where you would be standing. So it would be about getting out. And a lot of times, truthfully, when the fish are this shallow on a lake like Boyd, or even when you go up to North Delaney or South Delaney or things like that, a lot of times being on the shore can be an advantage when those fish are super shallow like that. You're not going to be in a boat that's going to be spooking these shallow fish. If the wind blows, you know, you're fighting your trolling motor, you're stirring up mud, and that can definitely clue these fish in. But from the shore, you can be a lot quieter. You can be a lot more controlled in your cast because you're not fighting the waves and the wakes and that kind of a thing. And when the fish are shallow, it can be a lot of fun, Terry. Chad's filled a whole bunch of shows up in North Park doing that same kind of thing. And some of his best shores, he was standing, you know, knee deep on the bank sort of a deal, Terry. So this just not ignore the shallow bite here for the next few weeks.
All right, Ronnie. So we got a few minutes left. You were going to talk about crankbaits. Do you want to go on and talk about rigging for the kind of fishing you were doing last night? Or do you want to talk about rigging crankbaits a little bit?
You know, we can do a little bit of both, Terry, because the crankbait bite is also an excellent bite this time of year. And don't ignore the shallow too deep, you know, as far as the crankbaits go. So on any given day, you know, something like a square bill that's going to run maybe 1 to 3 feet deep can be very effective shallow. A lake like Horsetooth, for example, that has a lot of riprap and a lot of rock and a lot of gravel and stuff like that. Once the wind starts blowing against the bank, or you start to get a little boat traffic that sort of dirties that water just slightly, that crankbait bite can be very, very good, very shallow. And then a lot of times as the water starts to get a little bit colder, those fish tend to slide out, and then we start transitioning to more of the deeper diving crankbaits that are going to work their way all the way down to maybe 16 feet deep or so on a long cast. All of those things can be very effective. And, you know, rigging for that sort of deal, Terry, it's, you know, for me, when I'm out cranking, I really prefer utilizing straight fluorocarbon on my presentations, something in that 10 to 12 pound test, maybe a, you know, a 7 to 7 foot, 6 inch rod. And that's usually on conventional gear for me or casting gear. Now, when I'm with my clients and that sort of thing, a lot of times they're not real proficient with casting gear. So I'll rig their presentations on a spinning rod, something like a 7 or 7 foot 2 spinning rod. And we're going to run braid on that sort of a thing with a fluorocarbon leader just so that they can make real long cast and get those baits down. I'll tell you, in the fall, maybe more so than any times a year, that reaction bite is going to be key, Terry, in grinding those crankbaits and getting them to deflect off of some of those deeper rocks, some of that deeper gravel. A lot of times is going to be the difference between getting bites and not getting bites. So you want to have a presentation that you can get down and really hit the cover that you're fishing over the top over, the structure you're fishing over the top of. And you want to be able to make real long casts to accomplish that, Terry. So that's kind of how I go about it. And a lot of times on horsetooth, for example, even as the water gets colder down into the low 50s, we may start the morning off on those deeper fish, fishing the jigging wraps and fishing the blade baits and things like that. But inevitably, that bite tends to kind of fall off at about 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning. A lot of times I slide right over to the closest pieces of structure that are around the areas I was catching the deeper fish, and I grind those crankbaits off that deeper structure. And a lot of times I catch my bigger fish doing that, Terry. So that's kind of how we go about it this time of year.
All right, we're almost out of time, but 30 seconds. If this cold front comes in, we probably got tomorrow and Monday, it's pretty reasonable. Then we get a couple of days in the 50s with some pretty low lows. Is that going to move those shallow fish at all?
Maybe for a day or two, Terry, but, you know, the water temperatures are still relatively high. So if we're looking at mid to upper 60s on a lake like Horsetooth or a lake like Boyd, it's going to take a lot more than just a couple days of cold weather to drop that, you know, 10 degrees or so. It may shut the fish off on, you know, right when it gets really cold, but pre-cold front, the fishing can be phenomenal. And then it may take a day or two of some sunshine just to warm that shallow water back up. Those fish are going to move back up a lot of times. On Boyd, for example, it's not really until all that shallow grass dies off that we see that bite go away. So I don't suspect this cold front will really shut that bite off. So, you know, I would definitely take a look at it and fish to conditions on any given day, but the shallow bite should play for the next few weeks.
All right, my friend, we're out of time, but thank you. That's great firsthand information. That's what we love when our contributors are on in the field or just got off the field and up-to-date information. Thanks, Ronnie.
All right, buddy. You have a good one.
You bet. Ronnie Castiglione. Great, great information. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we're going to wrap things up on Terry Wickstrom Outdoors, presented by Jack's Outdoor Gear on 1600 ESPN.